As we continue in the Sermon on the Mount, things get worse. What was kind of difficult in the beginning becomes impossible at the end of this midrash on the Ten Commandments. Jesus is saying that we must be as God is. As your Heavenly Father is holy and perfect, we are to be holy and perfect. And most of us are aware that we can't do that. This is impossible in our own strength and power. It goes against the grain of everything that we've been taught, of everything that we've experienced in life, of our own natural human emotions and fears. We know that it's easy to like someone or to even love someone who likes or who loves us. That's not difficult. Jesus said, even the goyim do that, speaking of all of us. It's easy to do that. That's not hard. What's hard is to love someone who hates you, to love someone who despises you. That is what is impossible, humanly speaking. It's only by the grace of God that we can be empowered to do that. And it's what sets the gospel message apart. It's frequently quoted, this passage that I read from Matthew chapter 5, about turning the other cheek. Now, let me make it clear what Jesus is talking about here. He's not talking about pacifism. He's not speaking about the right of every human being to defend himself from physical attack. He's not speaking about nations defending themselves and defending their borders against physical attack. He's talking about the human proclivity. Indeed, almost the 100% universal reaction of human beings to attack people who attack them, and of the human desire for revenge. Now, we see this played out through human history. We see it happening as we open our newspapers in the morning. We see people all over the place taking revenge for something that's been done to them. If you come on Tuesday nights, you'll know that we are in Romans, and we happen to cover this, so I apologize for those who come on Tuesday night, but we covered this portion of Romans chapter 12 last Tuesday night. I want to read this to you. Never pay back evil to anyone. Respect what is right in the sight of all men. If possible, so much as it depends on you, live at peace with all men. Now, this is an interesting verse because sometimes it's impossible. We can desire to forgive. We, in fact, can forgive. And we want to be reconciled to our enemies or to those who have something against us. But the other person won't be reconciled. We can't do anything about that. What Paul is saying here is that we need to make the effort to be reconciled to that person. And if they refuse that reconciliation, then we've done all we can do. But our attitude should never to be to take revenge. Never take your own revenge, beloved. And this is interesting too. But leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. God can do it so much better than we can. And our attitude is to be that which God has towards us. That while we were yet sinners, while we were yet God's enemies, He was reconciling the world to Himself in the person of His Son, Jesus. We were in an adversary relationship with God. We were estranged and alienated from the God of the universe because of sin. And yet, despite that, despite the fact that God had every right to execute His judgment upon us, as Rusty reminded us this morning, He loved the world so much that He became one of us and took what we deserved upon Himself. And because we have been forgiven, we therefore have an obligation to forgive. This is at the very heart of the gospel. That God, in His love for us, we are unlovable. If you look at it objectively, we don't deserve God's love. We are creatures who deserve God's wrath and condemnation. We don't earn heaven. We have already earned hell. And God, in His mercy, has decided to rescue us and to lift us out of that. And because He's shown us mercy, our obligation is therefore to be as He is and to show mercy and to show forgiveness to one another. And in so doing, something powerful is released. I had mentioned to the Tuesday and the Wednesday night groups that I'm reading an excellent new biography, which Milton gave me, on Pearl Harbor. Some of you may have seen it. It just came out. And it's fabulous, fabulously researched story. And I just finished the part last night where the Japanese launched that attack, which arrived over Oahu at about 10 minutes to 8 on the morning of Sunday, December 7th, 1941. It was a massive attack. And the man who was commanding the attack was a man by the name of Commander Mitsuyu Fuchida. How many of you have heard of him? Some of you have heard of him. Well, Mitsuyu Fuchida was the overall commander of this attack on Pearl Harbor. And as such, he was in his airplane circling above the attacking Japanese planes, caught the Americans completely by surprise. The ability to retaliate was limited. A lot of the ammunition was, in fact, locked up. And the Japanese began to decimate the ships that were moored at Pearl Harbor. Fortunately, our aircraft carriers were not there. But the most spectacular attack came against the battleship Arizona. And it was one bomb, which was dropped from high altitude with incredible precision, and it penetrated the deck of the Arizona and hit the ammunition storage magazines, and the ship blew up. And about 1,500 American sailors were killed in that one explosion. Fuchida described his glee, his elation, as he watched that from high altitude, that enormous explosion occurring in the Arizona. Fuchida went on to serve in the Japanese Navy's air arm. He actually was wounded and ended up having a desk job in Tokyo. After the war, when the Japanese had surrendered, we started trials against those who had perpetrated the Japanese aggression at Pearl Harbor. Fuchida was not put on trial, but he was a frequent witness. So happened that as he was headed to the court one day, this was about 1950, I believe, April of 1950, he got off the train in Tokyo, and someone handed him a gospel tract. The person who handed him the tract was an American airman who had been shot down in the Doolittle Raid, one of the early raids, the earliest raid that we mounted against Japan. And the planes didn't have enough fuel to come back to the aircraft carrier. I don't think they could have landed there anyway. Craig is an expert on that. These were B-25s. So they had to land in China. And China at the time was partially occupied by the Japanese, and it so happened that where this particular B-25 crash-landed in China, this man was taken captive. And during his captivity, someone gave him a Bible. And in reading the Bible, he became a believer in Jesus. It shows you how all these little pieces tie together. He felt the Lord calling him. He went back to the States after the war, went to Bible college in Seattle. He felt the Lord calling him to go back and to witness to the Japanese, the very people who had held him captive. It was this man who handed Fuchida that gospel tract in the Tokyo railway station. For Cheetah was overwhelmed. He knew this man had been a prisoner of war. He knew how cruelly the Japanese had treated American prisoners of war. He had even talked to some of the Japanese who had been captured by the Americans and found out how well they had been treated. This went against everything he had always learned and against the cardinal rules of Japanese culture, which very much values revenge. By the way, we read earlier about an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. That's often cited by people who say, oh, that's the old covenant. We don't believe in eye for an eye. All that is saying make the punishment fit the crime. It's to prevent cruel and unusual punishment. In other words, they don't chop your hands off for stealing a loaf of bread. But Jesus is saying we need to go even beyond that as believers in Him and to be willing to forgive those who have wronged us and who have sinned against us and who we have every right, humanly speaking, to take revenge upon. For Cheetah was so impressed by the willingness of this former POW to hand him a tract that he said, I'm going to study the Bible for myself. Now, he'd been brought up as a Buddhist. Now remember, this is the guy who led the attack on Pearl Harbor. He read the Bible. He said, I got to the part in Luke's gospel where Jesus is hanging on the cross. And he says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He said, I knew that was for me. He said, I knew that I deserved judgment and condemnation and death, but that Jesus had prayed this for me. And he said, all of a sudden, I understood the cross. I understood why Jesus had to die on the cross. For Cheetah prayed then and there to accept Jesus. For the rest of his life, he died in 1973. This was 1950. He was an evangelist to his own people and bore testimony to who Jesus is and for the transforming power in his own life. It brings us back to that song that we sometimes sing, Amazing Grace, written by a slave trader who realized the grace of God and that the blood of Jesus is greater than any of our sins and that he had saved even a wretch like me. It's only this transforming power, when we realize this and when it's released by the Holy Spirit in our lives, that we can come close to fulfilling what Jesus is talking about in Matthew chapter 5, of being holy as He is holy. But that's His goal for each and every one of us. I'd like to challenge us this morning. All of us have people probably that have wronged us in our lives. If you don't, then you are a rare exception. You have people that you might want to feel like taking revenge against. We all have that, some worse than others. Corrie Ten Boom is a great example that I often cite of someone who suffered in a Nazi concentration camp and after the war had an encounter with one of her former guards. And the man walked up to her and she said, everything in me rose up in rage. But she made a decision. It was not an emotion, it was a decision to forgive. Because the fact is, as we read in 1 Corinthians this morning in our lesson from that portion, we have been created to be temples of the Holy Spirit. And that means every human being, whether they believe or not, have been created in the image of God to be receptacles, to be tabernacles of the Holy Spirit, and that every human life is sacred, is precious in God's sight, because Jesus died for all of us. And because of that, He wants us to be able to forgive as we've been forgiven. Let's pray for that this morning. Lord, we thank You for Your love Help us, each of us, to realize that love today, that we've been created in your image to be temples of your Spirit. Help us, Lord, to be vessels. Vessels of love and vessels of forgiveness to those around us who do not know you. That just as this Japanese airman was touched by your love through this former POW, that you would use us to touch the lives of others. We pray this, Jesus, in your name. Amen.